This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
One workout warrior, Andy Van Slyke. To another, Martin Kilcoyne. Martin, good to be with you.
You know what? He's older than I am, for sure, but he is 1,000 times in better shape. It's a little disheartening, isn't it?
He's not 1,000 times better shape than you. He's 1,000 times better shape than any human being on the face of the earth.
1,000 is lowballing, and I think you're giving yourself some credit.
Thank
everybody.
I always said
this, that there was a stretch, Martin, for about 15 years where he had the best lifestyle in the country. And it wasn't while he was playing. It was after he finished, and he lived in this house. It was across the street from John Burroughs. It looked like the house should have been in Tuscany, the most beautiful house. And what he would do is every morning he would work out, and then he would go play golf at St. Albans. And then he would come home around 3 o'clock and watch his kids dominate other kids in every sport they played. And then he'd make passionate love to his wife. You know, just that was the life. And what did I do? I worked for 14 hours and came home when Monique was asleep.
You got a free lunch out of it somewhere. No, he was always post-baseball. He had a committed routine. And I found this out. It was early in my run at Fox 2. And I know Andy was buddies with Frank, but I was trying to get him to a Sunday night show. And back then, we used to have a lot more success with people being in studio.
Oh, yeah. Those are the
And
good
now
days.
We're like, we'll meet you at the Quick Trip and tape in the parking lot. But we
the only person that's coming in studio now is Strick. Right. Can I be on TV again?
But we had talked about something, and finally Andy called me back, and I'm sure he doesn't even remember, but he said, wait a minute, was that Sunday night? And I said, yes. He said, no. My wife and I go to dinner on Sundays, then we go to the Muni, no chance. And I'm like, well, you know, you could probably tape this. Or he's like, no. My wife and I have a routine on Sunday, and Frank said not to do it, and they hung up.
You know, actually, I remember commenting to him about that, because he had, you're right about that Muni routine.
I think it was every Sunday they would do dinner, and he'd go to like Brazzi's.
Exactly. And I would always say to him, how can you handle that Muni in 97 degree heat and these people yelling, la, 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 la. And he goes, there are other, you know, benefits, you know, afterwards. So he took one for the team to.
And I have to say, when somebody's really opinionated, you listen and you enjoy the opinions, but you also say, I want them to be, you don't want them to be hypocritical. So you got to Tommy Pham and talking about why he left. And he was saying, you know, he probably did say a little too much. He said, but I love a guy like that. Because as I'm listening, I'm like, there's no way Van Slyke will say, I didn't like the fact that Pham would call out teammates, because you look at Andy like he's going to do that.
Yeah.
So if you're going to have those hot takes, then don't be a hypocrite. And when he got to Pham, he said, but I like a guy like that. He would.
Yeah, he famously got into a confrontation with Barry Bonds and got the better of that confrontation, too. So you know he's not afraid to confront.
And I was thinking, you guys were talking about numbers, and he was mocking launch angle, and it's true that it's gone too far, right? Remember the Jason Wirth USA Today interview, and he was talking about, basically, and I was trying to find the whole story, but basically after the game, he said they would come down and address what they did or didn't do right as baseball players. And the Wirth quote was, they've got all these super nerds in the front office that know nothing about baseball but like to project numbers and project players. It's the point where you just put computers out there. Just put laptops up there. See what they can do. Let them play. We don't even need to go out there anymore. It's a joke. When they would come down, these kids from MIT, Stanford, Harvard, wherever they're from, they've never played baseball in their life. When they come down to talk about the stuff like shifts, should I bunt here? They were like, no, don't bunt. What you should have done there was hit a homer. It's not just baseball to me.
Good we're for him.
I mean, that's the part I'll never forget. When somebody in the analytics department shows you the shift, and he's like, well, should I have bunted? No, you should have hit a homer. Oh, okay, well, thanks. Like last night, Harrison Bader, you should not have struck out. You probably should have hit the ball deep. Just put it in the air. Or even hit a homer. That would have been better. What's he going to say?
You don't need the analytical department to look at the Harrison Bader.
It was terrible.
Oh, my Lanta. That was absolutely miserable.
There were two moments last night. So when Berube didn't win Coach of the Year, which it's fine. He was, you know, half the year. It's not the end of the world. My mom texted me and said, this is stupid. I'm turning this show off. She was so mad. And then after the Bader strikeout, she goes, now I'm turning this off.
Oh.
But of course she didn't, because we all say extreme, like, I'm never going to go to that place again. Because after the Goldschmidt homer, she texted me again. I said, I thought you were turning it off.
The third,
well, good for her to stay
the
with
third
it.
Swing yeah. of the Bader at bat. There are no
it was
words
painful.
To, it, there are well, no words.
And
to
give Don Mattingly
that.
Credit, because he knew slider,
yeah,
and Bader can't hit
up.
A slider. That was really one of the most deflating half innings. It's amazing they won the game, you know, when you think about it.
It would have been a, not that I'm heading down there today, but it would have been a brutal Thursday. It's a fourth game. Because I said this yesterday, it already felt a bit like the dog days of summer. And they always say that in August. Well, it's a long season. You got to just kind of get yourself to September and drudge through it. It felt a little like the dog days. Maybe it's because it's the Marlins.
Or you looked at the lineup beforehand. You go, wow.
It had a little Memphis feel
what?
To it.
You know, Martin, along the lines of the analytics and the intellectuals taking over baseball, it reminded me of a long time ago, Dana Carvey did a spoof on Saturday Night Live about George Will, and they called it George Will's Sports Machine, a takeoff on George Michael. And he's interviewing Mike Schmidt. It's really something you got to watch. It's amazing, too, that these guys that are in front offices controlling Major League Baseball teams, a lot of them couldn't throw a ball if their life depended on it. And yet they are the ones controlling the franchises.
It's like a market correction. Like, it's just, you know, like the housing market is overinflated, the tech stocks over. Like, the analytics are important. It's a great addition to the game. But right now, I feel like we're at the point where it's just over the top, where guys are even saying, my batting average doesn't matter. Well, it probably has some value. If you're hitting 190 and the guy next to you is hitting 310, I'll bet you anything the guy next to you is having a better season.
And that's the problem. The last 5 years, analytics and these stats and these things have gone so out of whack to where you can compare a terrible player to a Paul Goldschmidt or somebody just by just these ridiculous war. And I miss the basics. I really do miss just on base percentage is important. I'll give you that one. But the new ones now that you can't even pronounce them. You don't even know what they mean or what goes on calculating them. That's a little too much.
And there are things that have value. Matt Carpenter was struggling last year. So he said he reached out to the analytics team and they said, well, your hard hit rate or like you were doing some things correct, that eventually it should go in your direction. Then he went on a tremendous tear, and he said that that gave him a little bit of hope. So, obviously, it has value. It's just become overstated. All right, how about Five for Frank? It's brought to you by Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
Frank, give me Paul Goldschmidt's final power numbers, homers, RBIs. We're not quite halfway home, and he's at 14 and 30.
So I'd say 30 and 85.
You got to think.
It's going to go on a tear. He's got to get people on base in front of him, though. That's what I'm concerned about.
I mean,
about.
You look at the back of the baseball card. I also don't hate the idea of him hitting fourth, which Andy was talking about. Give him as many RBI opportunities as possible. But the 14, so his pace basically for homers has got to be low 30s. And you're saying, well, he hasn't done much. He hasn't, you know, boy, it's not a great year for Goldschmidt. Hope it turns around. He's still on pace for low 30s for homers.
Yeah.
I think he could get himself. I think there's a tear coming for him. And I would think 85 would mean, what, about 50-ish per half. That's probably a good over-under. And that's still a lot of production the rest of the way to get there.
You feel much better about him getting to some really high numbers than Matt Carpenter.
Yeah, I would say yes. All right, you are John Mozeliak. What are you going to do with Ponce de Leon? He's made three starts, none of them real deep, but the total is 15 innings, two earned runs. 15 innings, two earned runs.
Well,
I don't know.
I'll tell you what, if he doesn't start, you know, in 5 days, there should be an investigation. The ERA is 1.20. I mean, I don't care if some of those starts are kind of strange because he has high walks and short inning totals. The bottom line is, he doesn't allow runs to score. That's the only thing that freaking matters. I don't care if he walks three people in the inning, as long as at the end of the inning, nobody scores.
I'm fine sticking him in the bullpen for a little while until you figure out what's really going to happen.
Well,
with
who's
your
fifth starter?
Well, Wainwright's pitching tonight, and Waka's pitching Friday. How about that? Waka versus Pujols, the guy who you got because of Pujols, the draft pick you got. And there was a great clip on Graham Benzinger's show where Albert said, first at bat, going to launch one. I'm like, well, maybe.
Yeah, that's the starting
maybe.
Pitcher.
So I just think Ponce de Leon has value that you cannot just send back to Memphis.
I don't want to be like anti-Michael Wacha because he's a really good guy.
Absolutely.
And he's pitched one of the greatest postseason games in Cardinal history, and he did some good things. So I hope he can turn it around. I don't want to be a nasty sports talk show host, but he's just struggled, and I feel like he's still compromised physically. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I would say that I'm rooting for him, but as somebody who's watched for a while now, you're a little skeptical about the ability to be a contributing member of the rotation every 5 days. That's probably a concern that they have down at the front office as well. All right, Andy Van Slyke, as a coach, doesn't matter what the sport is, as far as postgame, on a 1 to 10, what would Van Slyke...
Oh, my God.
And does he... I'm trying to think who would engage in battle. Maybe Parcells? I was trying to think of somebody who could just kind of give it to you straight, and maybe debate or challenge you a little bit. Because you don't see it a lot. Most postgames are pretty bland.
Well, let's face it. The best one we had, and it wasn't great all the time, was Tony TV. Especially when he'd get edgy and first week of the season and stuff like that. But Van Slyke, I don't know if there'd be a bad one. I think like Joe Maddon. I remember one time interviewing Joe Maddon. We went from like Matheny to Joe Maddon. Oh, my God. This is like cheating. It's like interviewing Adam Wainwright. There's like soundbites. And like in 1 minute, you got 4 15-second soundbites.
And maybe a little bit of Whitey, because Whitey wasn't afraid to criticize, too. Like his own guy. Like if somebody had a bad game, I think a Van Slyke might say it. I think he would own it. I just think it'd be highly entertaining. I'm not sure if the Cardinals want to hear the critique in a postgame, but it would be great to have him occasionally on the set, former Cardinal, and just telling people like it is that, hey, that was a bad at bat. Here's what you should have done. All right, number four. Have we heard of Generation Z? You got Gen X, right? You got Millennials. Apparently, there's a Z out there. And a lot of the kids that are Gen Z don't believe in deodorant.
Oh, my.
And they said, this was making the rounds media-wise yesterday. They're saying they simply believe they don't need it, that it's commercialized, it's marketing. And you know who says, I don't need deodorant? Is the person not standing next to you.
Yeah. You smell. You perspire.
Correct.
That's a real thing. That you don't need data.
You know
that.
What? It's worse than that, because rarely can you really smell someone. I don't think. It's the breath,
though.
Game
in the can.
The breath.
Yeah.
Do you offer people mints or gum?
No, but I just kind of lean the other way when I'm talking so they figure it out. Oh, there's nothing worse than that.
I'm super paranoid. I always have a pack of gum. I'm always chewing. I'm just so paranoid about that. The white teeth. Whitening gum.
Nice.
But I saw this yesterday. I'm like, that's the dumb. Where are the parents? Like, Charlie always says, don't blame the millennials. Blame the parents. Bad parenting. If your kid tells you, yeah, I don't believe in deodorant. Well, I don't believe in housing you. That's a simple requirement.
Please.
All right, Frank. You are Max Scherzer. Were you scared at all? You had a black eye, a broken nose. You already looked pretty intimidating. But you did go out there with a broken nose, and what'd you do? 7 shutout innings with 10 Ks. Were you nervous at all on that mound with a broken nose?
I think it adds to the mystique and the whole Max Scherzer, aura.
Could have been a Cardinal.
Yeah.
Where would we play him? Where would we use him?
The lovely Brooke was at the game last night representing Deloitte, free tickets, and she just said, oh, Dad, this Max Scherzer's so cool. And, the Brooke's biggest regret of all time was last year, Bragg and Wright's game, we're in line. He's best friends with Tony Vitello. Tony Vitello comes back to talk to, Dom and myself and Brooke. And I said, Brooke, that's Max Scherzer. He's a pitcher in your town. Oh, God. I go, Brooke, you want me to go up there? We'll get a, we have him on the radio once in a while. I can't, Dad. And she was too embarrassed to take a picture of him.
Really?
Yeah.
She's like, Dad, can we meet him? Yes, I'll offer him cheese bread. Don't worry. That's badass, though. If you just get the visual of it, too, he's got this black eye. You know that he's got a broken nose. And he's still 7 shutout innings, 10 strikeouts. All right, 5 for Frank. Every day brought to you by Greenville University. I know a little later we're going to talk to Anthony Pulis, the coach of St. Louis FC. They moved on. In the U.S. Open Cup, they're going to face Atlanta from the MLS. Atlanta happens to be the reigning MLS champions. Coach Pulis in just a little bit on this program.